This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another edition of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And we want to wish a Happy New Year to anyone who's listening live or in close to real time anyway. This is our first broadcast of 2016. I got the number right.
Yay.
And, you know, I was looking for some statistics coming into this program, and I think we're just so close to the actual change of the year that the news cycle hasn't run its course. But, you know, one of the big things, they always put it out, this is on the dream list for teenagers every year, a new cell phone, a new smartphone. And this year they said this is the year of the phablet. Do you know what a phablet is?
No.
A phablet is a large format phone, like the iPhone 6S, I think. It's a large phone. It's not quite a tablet. It's halfway between a phone and a tablet, therefore a phablet.
Okay.
And that is an increasing large, no pun intended, an increasingly large segment of the mobile market out there. And Apple is dominating that market again this year. About half of all the activations over the Christmas season were for an iOS device of one sort or another.
Okay.
And I tell you what, I can tell that it's happening in our market because if I look back at our website traffic, I could see in 2014, January, suddenly our mobile traffic just jumped.
Everybody got
smartphones for Christmas 2013. I mean, it's remarkable. You can see this statistical shift happen like in 1 month's time. So I know that homeschoolers are in on this.
And you know, our kids really do need to learn how to handle this stuff before they leave home. They need to know how to manage the laptop, the tablet, the smartphone, because it's just a part of life. And they're going to have a really hard time interacting on campus and getting around if they don't have the devices everybody else does. You know, there's no such thing as a public phone anymore. It's hard to find a map anymore.
Have you looked for a phone booth? I mean, have you actually just looked around to try to find one?
They're gone.
Nowadays, they don't exist. I mean, there's occasionally you see one, but they're just not there because everybody's carrying their phone.
And that's how the Christian groups on campus interact through Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. That's how often even your class assignments and things you'll interact with your professors that way.
It's one of those things, whenever there's a change in technology, there are people out there who see it with alarm because they see how it can be misused. You know, anything that can be used to carry a message, to carry a graphic image, to carry an idea or music or whatever, there will be people who abuse it. I mean, that's one of the oldest users of technology, one of the quickest to innovate, has been the pornography market, if you can believe that. I mean, that was one of the first electronic business models that developed into a full-blown industry.
And the heart of man is desperately wicked.
That's right. But you know what? The fact that, you know, Martin Luther said, why should the devil have all the good music? I mean, the devil doesn't have all the good technology. It's just he and some of his minions are using it pretty effectively, and we've got to be wise to that.
Right. He's quick to adopt it.
That's right.
And so we do need to train our children to use this stuff wisely. And the truth of the matter is, they're going to use it, either in our house or in other people's houses. And they're very quick. Our children are more rapid adopters than we are. You know, I heard someone tell me at a conference just recently, she said, well, you know, I don't need any of this internet protection stuff because my kids don't have access to that. And I said, really? Because that's kind of unusual these days. You know, unless you're Amish or something, and even some of my Amish friends have computers. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, we only have one internet connection in our house, and it's in the family room. Well, while she's talking to me, she's messing around on her smartphone. Evidently didn't realize that was an internet connection. And I said, well, what about your smartphone? And she said, well, I keep it locked. But you know what? I saw the 18-month-old toddler that belongs to one of our friends, Hal, mm-hmm. pick up her dad's smartphone and do his code swiping.
She swiped in his 4-digit code. I saw her do it.
Yeah.
She swiped right in his 4-digit pattern and got right in because there was a game on there that daddy let her play sometimes and she just helped herself. And, you know, it's not that our kids are geniuses. Well, okay, I know our kids are geniuses, but...
Yeah, speak that's for yourself, not
the,
Al.
But I mean, well, all of our kids are above average. But the fact of the matter is, this is the world they live in. This, you know, our kids don't remember a world without a cell phone. And our younger kids will not remember a world without smartphones.
No.
And, you know, we don't need to be fearful of it. We just need to recognize it. And ask ourselves, well, how should we then live? What do we do with this, seeing that it's here and that it is useful? And we need to be, we just need to be aware. We need to be wise. So we wanted to talk this time, since all of this kind of stuff happens so much at Christmas time, we wanted to talk about safety on the new devices around your house.
Yeah.
And it was funny, in a sad sort of way, as I was looking looking for some of these news items to share, the thing that was coming up was not just the idea of how do you protect your children from bad influences online, but a lot of things like, please, don't text while you're walking through city traffic. And a story from California where rescuers were recovering the body of a man who was sending a text message and walked right over the edge of a cliff on the Pacific coast, and think, oh, that's sad.
Well, we know some teenagers who were killed because a teenager in another car was texting while she drove.
Yeah. And there's not a lot we can do about the others.
Yeah.
But you know, that is something, that's a very real safety issue, is to be sure to train your young people and to set the example for your young people that you, when you're driving, you don't fiddle with your phone.
Okay, so there's several different levels of safety we need to talk about here.
Okay.
And several different things that we need to do about it. You know, some of it's basic, don't be stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to get our kids involved in social media before they leave home so we can teach them how to use it wisely. How to avoid saying things that can be misunderstood.
Yeah.
How to avoid giving too much information. You know, a girl who's living on her own or with other girls and is walking around at night probably doesn't need to be checking into locations.
Ooh. Yeah, you are quite right. You're quite right.
And so we need to instruct them with some physical safety stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What it's okay to share online and what it's not. You know, how to avoid sharing things that don't look like sharing your address, but actually are. Because sharing what school you go to,
mm-hmm.
what park you're at, you know, you can give someone enough information. You can give them enough information for a predator to find you.
So we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
We do want to be aware of that. And, you know, we need to be aware of the fact that some of our applications are tracking us whether we are aware of it or not.
Yeah. You know, I realized that my tablet was sending location information and I actually had to go in and disable it.
Right. There was a tab in Google Maps online where you could just log into your Google account and it would tell you where you had been on what date for how long, and it was creepy. I mean, it could be really useful if you're doing expense accounts or something, but on the other hand, you know, that really? Are we being tracked that easily? And yeah, the answer is yeah, we are. And that's something, especially with our kids, we need to be careful to warn them about and help them set up so that they're not being tracked.
We also need to teach our kids that when you only know someone online, you don't really know them. That even if they're sharing pictures, you can't ever be sure that who you're talking about online, who you're talking to online, actually is that person. You know, one of our young adult sons
mm-hmm.
met someone through a Christian forum.
Right.
And began talking to this young lady. And he finds out after several months of mm-hmm. talking to her that wasn't even her real name.
she was leading a dual existence online. Yeah. And you know, that really was a bit of a shocker, I guess, because we trust our brethren, you know, and that's a real thing. And I guess I really first noticed that several years ago when I realized that online businesses, if they had a good website, you didn't know if you're dealing with somebody on the level of Procter & Gamble or a guy in his pajamas in his parents' basement running right. a website. I mean, it all looks the same online. And so, you know, that can work to your advantage sometimes, but it can also very seriously work to your disadvantage if you don't keep that in mind. Yeah. Things are not always what you might assume, and sometimes people will lead you to assume something which is patently not true.
You know, we also need to prepare our kids for bullying online. You know, we need to let them know that if someone is harassing them or bullying them or talking bad about them online, that they need to go to an adult, just like if somebody's bullying them on purpose.
Yeah, and the thing that's...
Oh, I mean, not on purpose, I mean in person. You know, a friend of mine said that mm-hmm. it was happening to her in her local homeschool group. It was happening to one of her children. That someone was just persecuting them very quietly so the adults wouldn't notice at the meetings and then tormenting them online in between times.
And see, that's the thing, because these things are so ubiquitous, they're practically a clothing item to us,
yeah.
that they're never out of arm's reach. And so, you know, once upon a time, if you had a schoolyard bully, when you went home, they went to their home, and that was the end of it, at least until the next day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it's happening
now
online,
bully follows you home.
Follows you to your bedside.
You get notifications in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
There's no escaping, which makes it a lot more dangerous. It's harder to get away from, and kids really struggle with depression, and some have taken that depression to a dangerous extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to tell our kids, you know, if someone's bullying you, they can be made to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are cyberbullying laws in nearly every state. You can make a police report. They'll stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you need to tell your kids that. You need to prepare them for dealing with those things, just like we prepare them for dealing with bullies out in the public.
Now, that kind of thing is dealing with bad kids, usually speaking. It's peer-related stuff.
Right.
But the thing which I think really chills the blood of any parent is the idea that there are predators out there, that there are those who are setting up kids online and grooming them online to try to lure them into all sorts of unspeakable situations.
Now, at this point, some of you are thinking, okay, that does it. My kids are not going to have internet access till they're of adult age. And we've had people tell us that they weren't going to let their kids have internet access until they were 21. You know, the problem with that is you're crippling them. They can't look for a job. You know, they can't have a ministry online. You know, I think about our 20-year-old son, who's a college student, and he has a tremendous ministry online. He's out there engaging his fellow students, constantly directing them to the Word of God, helping them to see the truth, and he's using it for the glory of God.
Right. It's just like the printing press. You know, the printing press can be used to disseminate pornographic novels, and it can be used to print the Word of God. And so you have to say, how is it being used, and how do I protect myself from those who are misusing it? And just, you know, in this circumstance, just like somebody can be leading you to Christ through the Word of God, or they can be leading you away from Him through things that would try to undermine your faith. Well, the same kind of thing that you can form friendships, you can have a ministry, you can reach out to all kinds of people online, but there are people who will reach in to you, who will try to lead you astray, to pull you away from your faith or from your family or from whatever.
And that's not just true of kids, but also of adults. And that's one reason we want our kids to have these have experience at mm-hmm. home, where we can walk them through this stuff. Because when they get out in the world, you know, they're going to have to be involved in this stuff to get a job, to have interaction with their family, to have interaction with their church. You know, most churches even communicate this way.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to go out as babes in the woods when they graduate from high school.
Well, you know what? Here's another little piece of data that, as I look back over the history of our website over the past 6 years or so,
mm-hmm.
the number one far and away, way out ahead of the pack, the number one post, most popular, most concern, is the post we did about protecting your family from predators and pornography online. Yeah. I mean, way advanced. And if you took to look at the first two posts, it outstrips any other post by probably a factor of five, just because people are aware this is something of concern.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put links to those two posts out there on the show page when we get done with this, because this is really good information. You do need the encouragement. You need some practical ideas of how you can protect your family and how you can protect your children and teach them to guard themselves.
Okay, and that's the deal, because we've been talking about how to protect them from the other evil people out there. But how on earth are we going to protect them from their own bad hearts? Because we all have bad hearts. You know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And, you know, hopefully our children have trusted in Christ, they've been forgiven, they've been made a new creation, but they're still going to struggle with temptation. And let's face it, it's out there just a click away. Untold horrors.
And, you know, there are people that have laid those traps out there. They make it intentionally easy to stumble across. And, you know, a lot of kids, because we hear from a lot of parents and we hear from some of the kids too, a lot of these young kids are exposed to things online that they weren't trying to find.
No.
That they weren't out searching for things. They weren't putting, ooh, that sounds like a dirty word, let me put that in Google and see what pictures come up.
A lot of kids are exposed that way.
Although a lot of them are doing that. Understand. And that's the advice we always give parents in these sessions. Say,
I know we do have some young listeners. Guys, don't do that. If you hear a word you don't understand, go ask your mom and dad.
Don't ask them in front of Aunt Barbara over Christmas dinner or something. I mean, you know, take them aside private and say, Mom, I heard this word and I don't know what it means. Can you tell me what that means? And let them deal with that. Parents, brace yourselves. You need to do that. But, you know, there's a lot of kids that just stumble into things. They weren't looking for it. They just mistyped something. They just, you know, ran across something. And a moment of curiosity just turned into something really bad for them. It just hooked them in.
Well, and one young girl we talked to, her mom, she just was researching something perfectly innocent online. Saw a link that she was curious about and had a 4-month addiction to this stuff.
Struggle.
She couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
She tried to quit and wasn't able to until her parents found out. You know, another young girl in, so it's not just guys, young girl, we talked to her parents in Georgia. Her mom just felt prompted to check her text, although her daughter hardly ever texted. She thought. And found out that she was within a few days of running away to meet a predator she had met online.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got to be engaged. We've got to be aware. We've got to teach our kids what to look for. We also need to know what they're doing for their protection.
And, you know, I think the groundwork for this is to have a relationship based on trust.
Yes.
You know, not to be the thought police out here to clamp down on your world and to stop your mind from expanding or something, but rather to have a relationship as a loving parent who wants to guide a young person into maturity in all innocence and uprightness, if possible.
You know, that is a great reason to go ahead and get some kind of protection on your internet long before you need to. I talk to parents all the time who say, we need to consider doing that once our kids get older. Well, first of all, those ages that kids are falling into things, we used to hear of 15-year-olds.
We've seen it just in the past 5 years where people used to say, my 16-year-old, my 17-year-old is struggling with this, to help. My 8-year-old was exposed to this, you know, at a support group meeting or, you know, the next door neighbor's
church,
kid.
Or, you know, places you wouldn't expect.
It's just become so so pervasive out there in society, and it's so easily accessible that we really do need to put some things up there to protect our young kids from the accidental exposures.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that we do recommend some sort of software, some sort of filtering, some sort of accountability. You know, with the younger kids, if you've got younger kids that have access to the computer, you know, filtering is a good thing, you know, to help them, prevent them from stumbling into something accidentally. But as they get older, you really need to be training them to recognize the bait, to recognize the harmful things, and to turn away from them. You know, to discern between good and evil and then to choose the good, to turn their back on the bad. And so to do that, you know, you need to loosen up the fence a little bit. And well, that's when we can talk about accountability.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the options.
Okay.
One I hear recommended a lot is OpenDNS, where you can put it on your router.
Yeah, okay.
And that is a good option, and it's probably a good fail-safe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a complete option, because that doesn't do anything mm-hmm. about your smartphones or your tablets or anything that goes online through a cell phone connection. It doesn't touch that.
And it doesn't do anything if you take your laptop out of your network and you go to Starbucks.
Or your best friend's house, or your neighbor's house.
Or grandma's house, or whatever.
Or even your neighbor doesn't lock down his Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so that's understand what the limitations of that are.
Now, so you're going to need some kind of device-level protection. That mm-hmm. means some kind of protection that's on every single device. Now, there's a bunch of them out there.
Right.
And you can play around and pick and choose which one you want. But what you can't do is wait until you find the perfect one.
Mm-hmm.
Because probably, well, close to 100% of letters we get from people who have found their child is looking at this stuff, they're horrified. They start with, I know you've been telling us to get something, but we were trying to figure out which one was best. And in the meantime, this awful thing happened.
No, what you really need to do is define something that works at least some of the time and does some of the things you want to do while you figure out what your ideal solution is. And see, we recommend Covenant Eyes.
Yeah, that's the one that we have used for many, many years. I was trying to figure out how many years the other day. I don't know. I think 10 or more.
A long time. But you know what? The thing about it is, if you go to our website, if you sign up using our link on our website, you can try it out for 30 days. That gives you all the time you want to evaluate any system out there. But at least you're going to have this protection, and you don't have to commit to anything. It doesn't cost you anything for 30 days. So go to raisingrealmen.com/safety.
And that will take you to the Covenant Eyes site through our link so that it will give you 30 days, and it also supports our ministry.
Yeah.
Now, I really like Covenant Eyes because it's one price for the whole family. No matter how many devices I put on it, and no matter how many accounts I have. And I really love that I can set it differently. That for you and me and the older kids, I just have accountability. Look, tell me if they're involved in something yucky.
Yeah.
For the younger kids, I can put it stricter. Tell me if they're going to Facebook. They're not allowed to have a Facebook account yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I can, for the youngest children, if I need them to have internet access, I can have an actual filter where it will only let them go to certain places.
Right. And so, you know, it's configurable. Everybody has their own account, and so everybody has their own level of protection / accountability.
And the reports are super easy to read. Each person gets a separate email, and it'll say, such and such's report looks great. I don't even have to open that.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a teenager and every single report looks great, you probably ought to open them and make sure that you're seeing the time of use is matching when they're actually using it. Because there are a few ways around this kind of stuff. You have to be pretty experienced in the use of the computer, but you can always tell because you won't see them see their use through Covenant Eyes.
Yeah, say, I think they did do more than 30 minutes a day. I just think I saw more than 30 minutes. But you know what? This is an important thing to point out. This kind of software is not a solution.
No,
it is a tool. It's a tool to help you have the conversations, to help, you know, flag if there's problem behaviors and habits developing that you need to address. But it's not something that you set this up. It's like, well, I put a wall around the house and nothing's going
to
get in.
Because if you never have the conversations when they go to the place they shouldn't, when they test the waters, if you never read the reports and have the conversations with them, it does you no good. You know,
you're training. You are supposed to be training your young people to be responsible, God-fearing adults, and they're going to have to make decisions when the choices are wide open to them. You know, they're going to go places where there's no filters. There's going to go places where things are freely available. And by free, I mean you don't even have to put a credit card in for a lot of this stuff. And so, you know, they need to learn to recognize the bait and to turn away from it. You know, and sometimes it's as little as coaching your young person and say, hey, you know what, that little icon up there in the corner of the screen, if you click on that, then it will shrink your screen down and you can get that sidebar out of view. I have to do that sometimes, you know, just news sites, in quote, innocent, unquote, legitimate news sites, let's say, will have junky stuff in the sidebars. And I just have to say, you know what, I don't even want that in the corner
of
my
vision. Don't need to see the ads for this, no.
So that's the kind of thing, you need to have these conversations, you need to show them how to do these things, and you need to encourage them and live it out. Be the example.
You know, I think we got a little bit sidetracked. I was starting to say this earlier.
Go ahead.
If you go ahead and get internet protection before you think your kids need it, which they're likely need a lot earlier than you think, then when it comes up, son, yes, I'm getting you a smartphone, or I'm getting you a tablet to use in school or whatever, and I've installed Covenant Eyes, then if there's any question when they say, well, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? You know what?
You say, no, we don't trust anybody. We don't trust ourselves.
Because we're all sinners. And so we've had the software on our own computers and our own smartphones for 2 or 3 years now.
Because I want my wife to know if my heart and my eyes are being drawn away to places they shouldn't be. And I want to know if hers are being drawn away. And that's just part of being accountable to one another, speaking the truth to one another in love, encouraging one another to walk according to God's will. And you know what? It also helps when, you know, when you're talking to your teenager and if they push back and say, you know what, your dad doesn't expect to have privacy. Why do you think you should get more privacy than your own father?
Very powerful.
Okay.
When we take the lead and we're the example.
So be the example, live it out. And
not to mention the fact that it's probably a good idea anyway, because we're hearing more and more Christian couples whose marriages are being devastated by the use of porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for you young people that are listening, I mean, looking at pictures of people doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And
ask your parents. They'll explain it.
You know, I think that starting from the beginning, when their first internet access is going through a filter or an accountability tool, and they know that we're all accountable for the way that we behave online, they don't resent it. And, you know, I've actually seen our guys, when they get away to college, I know one of ours served as a resident advisor in a dorm and a chaplain. And he would counsel these boys who were just horribly addicted to this stuff. It was messing up their grades in school. They were struggling with their relationship with the Lord. And he would tell them, look, you need to get some accountability. Find somebody in your life that you can hold yourself accountable to. Here, sign up for this software, put it on your devices, and hold yourself accountable. Do it.
Well, look, it looks like we're about out of time here, but I tell you what, I am going to put a couple of links on the show page.
Yes.
So that you can get this really, really useful information. And we do want to encourage you, come out, find it. We want to share that with you. And I think you'll find it very helpful, very encouraging, sobering, but helpful, you know.
So head out to RaisingRealMen.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can click on the ad there for Covenant Eyes. That'll take you there, get you 30 days. Or you can go to RaisingRealMen.com/safety. Do something tonight. Get some kind of protection, whether it's Covenant Eyes or something else. Get some kind of protection on all your internet-capable devices, because you know what? Your family is worth more than that. You wouldn't leave a door open in your living room that headed into Shanghai or New York City, but that's what the internet is. It has museums, it has great places to go, and it has Skid Row and houses of prostitution.
Right. And if you wouldn't drop your kids off at a random street corner in the south side of Chicago with a $100 bill in their pocket and say, I'll pick you up in 12 hours, if you wouldn't do that, then don't just turn them loose out on the wide, wild web.
Yes, but get them out there and teach them how to use it safely, because it's a tremendous ministry opportunity. Hey, thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah, we do appreciate you spending some time with us. We know that you can do lots of things with a half hour, and we thank you for spending part of your half hour with us. And so join us every Monday night at 9 p.m. or come out to iTunes, or you can come visit us in the archives at halandmelanie.com/radio. So until next time, we do appreciate you being with us. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks. Goodbye and God bless you.
Bye, folks.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.